Well, from reconciliation to a full reboot of Australia in the 21st century. That's what author, journalist and leading feminist Dr. Anne Summers will be urging in a major speech in Canberra later today. Anne Summers will argue Australia is no longer equipped to deal with the challenges of the future. She says our tendency to elect governments based on slogans rather than policy has left us desperately in need of economic, social, emotional and even spiritual reconstruction. Anne Summers will deliver her 2020 vision as part of her Kenneth Myer Lecture at the National Library of Australia in Canberra later today. She joins us in the breakfast studio. First, Anne Summers, welcome to breakfast.
Great to be here. Thank you, Fran.
You're basically arguing that the country, as I say, needs a reboot, needs a reconstruction. What do you mean?
Well, we've done this once before, Fran. Back in 1942, Australia established a post-war reconstruction ministry led by the very famous Nugget Coombs and a team of extraordinary Australians. And their job was to prepare Australia for the end of the war, the kind of society that we would need, the demobilisation of the armed forces and the construction of the kind of society we wanted to see. So I'm using that as my model for what I think we need to do again in the 21st century, because I don't think, even though we're not at war, please God, that will not happen, but we still have, we have similar crises. We have a huge crisis of confidence in our political system. We have huge unemployment, underemployment and looming unemployment from the digital transformation. We have a housing crisis. We have disenchantment with the political system, which is seeing people go to third parties and to extremism and populism. And so I think we're in danger of losing the consensus of what the country should be about. So I'm arguing we need a mechanism that will not just bring us back together, but will have give us a way forward based on principles and values that will be not only solve our problems and help us forward, but will be unifying.
But to be, I mean, the comparison with the post-war reconstruction, well, there are comparisons, housing crises, unemployment crises, that kind of thing. But it was largely an economic plan, wasn't it? I
mean,
you're
talking
about something different.
No, it wasn't. I mean, when you go back and look at what was achieved by post-war reconstruction, I mean, they introduced federal funding for housing, they introduced social welfare policies, they established the Commonwealth Employment Service, funding for universities.
So it was a new arrangement between government and people.
Absolutely. And it was one that would have gone further had the 1944 referendum succeeded. A bit sobering to realise, but what back then, you know, they sought power to legislate for Aborigines among many other Commonwealth powers, and that was rejected. So it could have been even more wide-ranging. But the vision was there to deliver a fairer and better Australia via a range of social policies and economic policies we were seen as being for the betterment of the country, not the way they've subsequently developed over the last couple of decades.
So before diving into your sort of thesis a little bit more and testing it, what is the new mechanism that you think that you propose?
I haven't proposed a mechanism. I'm just proposing the idea, the notion. I have to say I'm not fantastically optimistic that it'll be received by certainly the present government. But I just wanted to say to people who are worried, like I am, and I'm sure a lot of us are, what can we do? And a lot of people are talking about, well, let's change the voting system. Let's all vote by email, or let's do all this stuff. And I think that's the wrong way of looking at the problem. We have to go back to first principles. We have to go back to the value system that we want to see govern this country. And then the way we deliver the mechanisms, the way we deliver the changes will be... Now, we need something like a commission, a post-war, I'm calling it a new century reconstruction. So it would be a body set up to advise.
But how do we get a body that represents the national
values?
It's
not representative. I think it would be... If we were to use the model of post-war reconstruction, you choose people of ability, talent, professionalism, who are not there to serve their own interests but to serve the interests of the country. We'd keep lobbyists and political interests well out of this.
Because you're talking about reconstructing our economic policy, our economic debate, our social debate. You also talk about making ourselves emotionally and spiritually strong. How does that work?
I guess what I mean there is that, you know... The kind of challenges that we're facing as a country are so great, and we can barely grasp them. You know, we're grasping the impact of them, you know, as they rush towards us. The digital upheaval of our society, we have no policy to deal with that. We have no cyber policy. You know, we have so many areas of concern and change in this country. Now, we're doing it by the seat of our pants.
We have a Prime Minister who brought in an innovation statement saying we need to be agile, we need to be flexible, we need to be...
Yes, well, they're not principles. I would have thought, you know, they may be, again, they're their slogans and they're not very helpful. And we also have this Prime Minister who is responsible for the fiasco of the NBN. And, you know, one of the things that's very sad about Australia is one of the things we used to be good at was nation-building projects. We were great at delivering the Snowy Mountain River Scheme. We were great at delivering the Overland Telegraph. You know, the next big nation-building project that we attempted, the NBN, we've got that badly wrong.
Your speech is titled 2020 Vision, and you say we're falling so short of that we're almost blind, and unless, this quoting now, we take urgent action, we will be entering the third decade of the 21st century directionless and unfocused in a world that is in chaos today and likely to remain so. That really raises that some of these themes you talked about, the political disinterest, disenfranchisement, the rise of people voting for the non-major parties, the fall back on slogans, a leadership that is not leading as strongly as people remember past leaders. It's not just happening here, is it? These are criticisms and realities that are being reflected in a lot of developed nations.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, in some ways we are better off than some other countries because our political system protects us from minority rule. I mean, we certainly have we can have a government that's elected on a minority of votes, but we're talking, a few thousand votes. We're not talking about, as in the United States, less than 25% of the country has elected Donald Trump. You know, the same in Britain, less than 25% of the people of Britain voted for Brexit. So these absolutely calamitous decisions made by minorities of countries, I think our compulsory voting system and the fact that we do have a degree of consensus about the way the system works is something to be grateful for, and we should therefore use the institutions that have worked for us in the past, adapt them for the future, obviously, but try and work out how we go forward and make sure we don't end up in the sort of calamitous situation that so many other countries are currently in.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 25 past 8. Our guest is Dr. Anne Summers. She's delivering the Kenneth Myer Lecture at the National Library today called 2020 Vision, Why We Need New Century Reconstruction. There are some elements of our institutions that are struggling and aren't fit for purpose, it would seem. Changing the constitution seems to be one of them. Since 1977, we haven't had a successful referendum. And that means people are reluctant to enter into them. We were just talking to Patrick Dodson about this notion of a change in the constitution to recognise the right of Indigenous Australians to have a voice in our political system somehow. And it's clear from that conversation, it's hard to work out how that would work. Do we have an issue with our constitution? Are we hamstrung by our constitution? Do we have to think of a new way to modernise it? Or is that not the problem?
Well, that's probably beyond my area of expertise. I'm certainly not a constitutional lawyer or even a lawyer. But I do think that we...
I suppose I mean change in the
we
big
have, We have serious
questions.
And complex problems in this country, and I do not believe it's beyond our capacity to solve them if we want to. And, I don't think that the Makarrata issue should be beyond our ability to solve. We need political goodwill, and I think we lack that at the moment. We have too much divisiveness and petty-mindedness and special interest determining outcomes rather than the overall good of the country.
So how do we change it? You've got this notion of some kind of reconstruction body, commission, but in the meantime, we have our political leaders operating the system. Your criticism is they don't deal in policy enough or explain policy enough or develop policy enough. They rather revert to slogans. Mm. We're in the middle of a debate at the moment, just kicking off on same-sex marriage. We'll have this postal ballot. Some people like that idea, plenty of people don't. But talking about slogans, Tony Abbott has been out and about talking about, reducing it to if you don't like political correctness, vote no. He said yesterday, so many people are anxious about what they think is a war on our way of life, I think we can call that a slogan, if you're anxious about that, vote no.
Well, I'm honestly, Fran, I'm bewildered by why Tony Abbott is seen as newsworthy. I mean,
he's a former Prime Minister.
So what? There are a lot of former Prime Ministers around and we don't rush off and ask them what they think about every single issue. He has no standing and no influence. He won't change a single vote. So I think his views, he can call it witchcraft. It's irrelevant what he thinks. I think what is far more relevant to whether or not this plebiscite is going to succeed or fail, and I mean, there's no doubt it's flawed. There's no doubt it represents political cowardice on the part of of the Liberal Party, their inability or refusal to grapple with an issue that 26 other countries, many of them much more conservative than us, have managed to sort out. The fact that our country is incapable of doing it just goes to my overall point. But I think the biggest danger to this plebiscite now is the threat of boycott. I mean, unless you can organise 100% boycott, and I think that...
A lot of people saying, I'm not going to vote for it.
Well, okay, a lot of people are, but a lot of people are going to vote for it. So we're going to have three sets of votes. We're going to have the vote yes, the vote no, and the not voting. So that's exactly what happened with the referendum over the Republic. And I fear that it will be lost because of the purist attitude of saying, let's not vote. So, you know, unless you can organise 100% boycott, and I think that will be very difficult, I think this is doomed to failure. And so the advocates of same-sex marriage are going to have to just wait it out for a Labor government. And if that happens in the next election, well, then, okay, same-sex marriage will be delivered then. Otherwise, if Labor does not win and this plebiscite does not get up, you know, we used to be a leader in social reform around the world. We introduced the widow's pension. You know, we introduced the eight-hour day. We introduced women police and whole lots of other things. We are now so far behind when it comes to not just innovation but to keeping up with social trends that it really is embarrassing. And I just can't believe that we are so inept that we can't even organise a vote on this issue.
So you're urging people to vote in this ballot?
Given that it's going to happen, yes, I think we should vote. And we should vote yes.
Anne Summers, thanks very much for joining us. Dr. Anne Summers, author, journalist, delivering the Kenneth Myer Lecture at the National Library of Australia in Canberra today. And she'll do it again at the University of Melbourne's Brain Centre on Sunday. Her lecture, 2020 Vision, Why We Need New Century Reconstruction.